Let me take just a moment before we begin the lesson to welcome each one here, those who are visiting with us. We especially appreciate you taking the time to come here this morning and to be a part of this service. It is my hope and prayer that the things we do and say will be in harmony with God's Word. But I want you to understand that you have a responsibility to make sure that what you believe is according to truth. You need to study the Scriptures. You need to make sure that your faith is based on God's Word. How many memories do you have when you were 6 months old? How many memories do you have when you were a year and a half, 2 years old? Three, four? When do you start to really remember the past events in your life? You know, I remember some things when I was very young, primarily because Dad and Mom used to like to tell stories on me. I remember, because of the stories they told, about a time when I started a field on fire playing with matches. I remember, because of the stories they told, a time when I went into a neighbor's strawberry patch and pick some strawberries myself. I remember, because of the stories they told, other things. But when do we really, based on our own recall, start to remember the things that we've done in our lives? The mind is a wonderful thing. The mind is given to us by God. But when you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, you find that Adam and Eve did not have a childhood. Their minds were fully developed the very first day. And so I would imagine that they did remember a lot more in their first days of life than any of us do. They were created in the image of God. They were made in the likeness of God with the power to think and to reason. They were given a mind that did not have to grow up. But I'm certain a mind that still had to learn, a mind that still needed to solve problems. We recognize the fact that as children, we come into this world with very little in our minds except the things that pertain to that moment. Wanting to be fed, a diaper changed. Very few things do we think about except those that, again, pertain to the very basic elements of life. And so we recognize that at least at first there's not much up there. And so we ask the question, when does the light turn on? When do we start to think and to reason for ourselves? When do we start to figure out problems in life? When do we learn? Well, we're told that necessity, the need, is the mother of all invention. We also realize that sometimes we learn because we want, or simply because of curiosity. We wonder about things. Something gets our attention. And so we want to figure out how to do this. We want the information. We want to search out. And sometimes we learn by trial and error. And sometimes we have to be patient when we learn. And we understand all of that. In the book of Proverbs chapter 18 in verse 15, turn there if you would. As we learn, we gain knowledge. As we gain knowledge, we gain understanding. And then finally, wisdom. The ability to take what we know, what we understand, and to make application in our lives. In Proverbs 18 and verse 15, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge. And the ear of the wise seek knowledge. And so we understand the value of just simply trying to learn. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, in verse 8, Solomon is summing up. This is his epilogue to the things that he had discussed earlier in this book. And in fact, he is speaking here in third person. But be assured that he's talking about himself. And he says, "Vanity of vanity," says the preacher, "all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth." And so that was his intent with this book. And it was all based on the things that he had learned in life. A wise man, yes. A man who could do whatever he wanted in this life, basically. He had the money, he had the authority to do what he wanted. And so he sums up his life by saying, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." He says, "You know, I wanted to write down some words of delight, words of truth. And I wanted people to understand. I wanted people to know." And so that was his goal in this book. Learning is important. What happens if the chairs of education are empty? If no one wants to know, if no one wants to understand, if no one wants to learn, what do you think happens to our society? How long do you think it would be before no one knew how to grow or produce food? How long do you think it would be before no one knew how to make clothes or to design and build shelter? How long do you think it would be before there were no doctors or medicine? How long do you think it would be before there were no more cars, airplanes, TVs, computers, or the internet, or music? Do you know that we have the lights on this building on a timer? They dim at a certain time. They come on at a certain time. For better or worse, the lesson this morning is being recorded. And so you can go to the internet, you can go to the website, and you will be able to pull up this lesson or any other lesson that we've had here over the last several years. We take knowledge for granted sometimes, because it's just always been a part of our lives. But let me ask you something. What happens if the light turns off and we begin to lose the desire to learn? We begin to lose the ability to take what we know now and build on that and grow. What happens if the light is turned off and everything goes dark? In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." I want you to notice the extended consequence of a lack of knowledge. He accuses them of not knowing. They are destroyed. And realize we're talking about a real destruction, a conquering, where people died. And he says, "You have rejected knowledge. You didn't want to know about me. You didn't want to know about my will for you. You didn't want to know about the law. You have rejected knowledge. And because of that, I'm going to reject your children." Why would they be rejected? Why would they be forgotten? Because if they did not have parents who would teach them, who would encourage them, who would help them to grow and to learn, then chances are they were not going to know either. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, he says, and fools hate knowledge? Now you might think to yourself, well, we're not a people like that. We continue to advance in knowledge. We can do things today technologically that we could not do 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Think about the progress that has been made in science and medicine. It is absolutely amazing what doctors can do to the human body to help heal it. And when something wears out, it is amazing how many times they can do a bypass. They can do something that will preserve life. The knowledge we have is wonderful in this life. But I would suggest to you that more and more and more people are becoming ignorant of God's Word. We may grow in our knowledge of earthly things. We may grow in human wisdom, but we are becoming ignorant of God's Word. I want you to realize that accurate knowledge begins with factually correct information. And a lot of information out there about religion is not factual. It is not right. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Paul is talking about his Hebrew brethren. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. Now listen, but not according to knowledge. He doesn't mean that they didn't know anything. The Jews at this time, at least, had a pretty good working understanding of the Hebrew law, especially those who were in the Jewish hierarchy. But it's pretty clear from the Gospels and even from the writings and the epistles that many of the Jews, the common Jews, knew something about God's law. They were accustomed to going to the synagogues and hearing the law read. And so they knew something about it. The problem is their knowledge was not based on truth. They had taken Old Testament scripture and they had replaced it to a great extent with their tradition. And they had twisted it and misused it. And so because of that, the zeal they had for God was not according to knowledge, the truth. Accurate knowledge then begins with factually correct information. Accurate knowledge is the basis for our spiritual wisdom and understanding. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul said, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge, now listen, of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, without wisdom and understanding based on truth, there is no pleasing the Lord. We cannot walk as the Lord wants us to walk. Many people are curious and they have spiritual questions. Some are good, some may not be. But there are people who are curious about religion. We know the example in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 21. And clearly most of these people were not honest and sincere. But we read there, now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. And so they invited Paul to come in and to teach them. And Paul began talking about them being too religious or too superstitious, the King James Version says. And then he begins to teach them about the true and living God. They had a concept about God. They had a knowledge of God that was not accurate. And so Paul is going to teach them about the true and living God. He says, God doesn't need man's hands. He doesn't need man's temples. God is the creator. And then he gets down to that little section where he starts talking about the resurrection. And people turned off. Were they curious? Did they have spiritual questions? Absolutely. But not honest and sincere. I want you to realize something. When we want to know something religiously, spiritually, God answers all of the important questions. But He does keep some secrets. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, in verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law, he says. There are some things God has not revealed, and we might even wonder about them. How did God create the heavens and the earth? How did He speak things into existence? How in the world did He make us in His image, in His likeness? How is it possible that for each child born, God puts a soul, an everlasting soul, into that newly formed body? When does God do that? We have so many questions. But there's some things God kept secret. No human was present at creation. We cannot duplicate the processes of creation. We cannot even comprehend the power involved in creation. How could God do that? You know, over the last 25, 30 years, we've made great progress in science in many ways. We're able to see out into space and see things that we could not. You know, there was a time that the only access we had to space was here on this earth as we looked up gazing into the sky. That's all we knew about it, really. I cannot comprehend a God, a being, who can just say, let there be light, and there was light. And let me tell you this, God hasn't explained that, has He? And there may be some reasons why. In all probability, the greatest reason why is at this point in time, I cannot understand that. I'm not capable of understanding it. The only thing I know involves this earth, physical. And I understand, based on my experiences, that if you want to build something, that you take then material that already exists, and with the right knowledge, with the right understanding, you can take that material and you can make something of value. And so there are a lot of questions that I may have, curiosity that may have, but yet I cannot answer because God has not answered. And so I may want to know, how did I get here? And God tells me that in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. God tells me how man and woman came to be. I don't have to wonder about that. Now, again, how did He take dust and water and form a human body, and how did that body become animated by a soul that God? That's beyond my comprehension. I may wonder about that, but I will never know from purely earthly evidence. We'll never reach that point of being able to figure those things out. Much about creation I do not and cannot know. I need to take great care that I do not try to fill in the blanks myself. I need to be satisfied simply with what God has given to me. I can look at creation and be in awe. In the book of Psalms, chapter 8 and verse 3, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? I'd like to know more about God, wouldn't you? I'd like to understand more about God, the Creator. He is eternal, omni, all-powerful, all-wise, all-present. How is that possible? How can God be everywhere at once, know everything at once? How is it possible that He can look into my mind when I am not saying a word and He knows exactly what I'm thinking about? I don't understand that. I have a great curiosity. I would like to know how that happens. But these are secrets kept. And so there's much about God that I do not, cannot know. There are great limitations. Just simply observing God's creation. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 18 through verse 23, clearly God holds accountable all people. And he speaks here of the Gentile people and their invention of idolatry. And he talks about this. We'll begin with verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them, talking about the Gentiles, because God has shown it to them. All right, how did God show it to them? For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. No one is excused if they do not understand about God's divine nature. That's what Paul says. There is no excuse for atheism. None. Because this world is testimony and evidence of God's existence. In verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Now listen, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God, something they should have understood, for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. In other words, they put up idols in place of the true and living God. Granted, we cannot know all of the details about God simply by creation, by the things made. And so we have limited knowledge by observing these things. But there's great detailed knowledge through divine revelation. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul said, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul says, we cannot know the details of God without something revealed, without God giving us that information. The passage read a few moments ago by Shiloh in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through verse 13, clearly teaches us that we cannot look into the mind of God to know what He's thinking. But God has revealed them to us. And so we need to care about what God says. God has made a choice as to what is important to us. I can believe in God, and I can believe in His Word, and not understand everything there is to know about God. To still have questions. Why should we care about what God says? Well, first of all, we are all going to be judged by His words. John 12, verse 48. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Every atheist will come to believe in God. Every religious person who follows their own ideas and will come to know that there is a truth. Think about it for a moment. Every Jew is going to stand before Jesus Christ. They're going to give an account of the things that they've done. Every Gentile, doesn't make any difference. Every Muslim, everyone who professes Christianity will stand before Jesus Christ, and they will be judged by His words. Ignorance is not bliss. Have you ever heard the statement from some, ignorance is bliss? And usually what they mean by that is, if you don't know any better, then no harm. But in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, a passage we were reading from, or a context we were reading from earlier with regard to the people there at Athens, another thing that got the people as Paul was preaching to them is he talks about repentance and ignorance. And he says in verse 30, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. And so ignorance is no excuse. It's no excuse because His word has been completed. His word is for all. You know, there was a time when not everyone had access to the law of Moses. And so not everyone was judged against that standard. But now we have God's word, and ignorance is not bliss. Why should we care about what God says? Because they are the words of eternal life. In John 6, verse 67, so Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. But now listen to what else He says. And we have believed and have come to know that You are the Holy One of God. That was their conviction. That was their understanding, their knowledge based on truth. A lot of people did not, most people did not believe what Peter had just said. So a question. We may have some curiosity about God. We may want to know something about God. We may feel a need to know something about God. What if man proves God wrong, or if man's research conflicts with biblical teaching? Then what do we do? How do we handle this? Fairly often, someone will come up with a new idea as to why this about God cannot be true or that about the Bible is wrong. And sometimes we even get to a point where, okay, this is what man has come up with, and now we have to try to make the Bible fit what man thinks is right. So what are we going to do with that? How are we going to handle that? In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, the word of the cross, now listen, is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will throw out. For where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. I'm afraid that we as Christians sometimes get caught up in this movement of trying to make the Bible fit whatever we come up with, whatever the new invention is or the new discovery is. Let me say this as clearly as I know how, as honestly as I know how. Anytime man thinks he's discovered something that conflicts with the Bible, 100% of the time, man is wrong. Man is never right when his conclusions conflict with God's Word. Now, we may not understand God's Word. There may be a problem in the conclusions that we've drawn, and we grant that. And so we always need to be studying. But again, let me say that when man comes up with a notion that conflicts with Bible teaching is always right. It just is. And we need to have enough faith in God's Word where we're not worried about trying to make what man thinks to fit God's Word. Let's try to make what man thinks be conditioned on God's Word. Let's let God's Word affect man and not the other way around. God has the answers to the important questions of life. And we've got to continue growing and learning and maturing. It's a never-ending process. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, 40 years. It is a continuing process of growth and maturing and learning. You know, when we disagree, and there will be times when we have disagreements, as long as we grant that the Bible is the source of authority, as long as we grant that we can understand the Bible, and again, when I say understand, what I mean by that is to know it accurately, as long as we can agree on those things, then we can study together. And we can discuss back and forth. As long as we are patient and we are kind with each other, then we can use the Bible to help us reach the right conclusions if we're wrong. But if we begin to minimize God's Word and we denigrate it, and we say it really doesn't matter that much, then whatever disagreements we have, there is nothing to resolve it. Because then it's just personal. Then it's just what I think versus what you think. And there's no real source of authority that we can go to. That's why it's important for us to continue to learn. And to learn based on factual, correct truths that God has given to us. If you're not a Christian, then what you need to learn, and once you learn it, you need to believe it. And once you believe it, you need to act upon it. But you need to learn that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Nothing unclear about that. The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. Again, that is clear teaching from God. I know it's not popular. I know more and more are wanting to bring in just any concept of God, and that's good enough. But that's not the teaching of God's Word. So believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Turn your heart to Him, repent, and then be immersed in water for the remission of sins. If you're a child of God, and maybe you've forgotten some of these things, and maybe you just haven't had the drive and the motivation to learn and to keep growing like you should, do something about that as well. Turn your life back to Him. Respond if you need to. Us together we stand and sing.